It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
Big Brother Canada 4 has come to a close, which means it's time for another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. What's going on, everybody? My name's Jordan Parhar, and I'm here with you once again on robiswebsite.com to break down the latest happenings on BB Can 4. And with me today is somebody who has yet to make an appearance on the Reality TV Happy Hour, someone who I tried to get on last summer. We just couldn't really figure it out. I mean, she's 4.5 hours ahead of me. I find that weird. Why we live in the same country, yet we have one person who, you know, for me, it's 5:15 Pacific time. But for you, it's like it's almost 10, Allison.
Yeah, it's 9:45 here.
It's 9:45.
I'm in the future.
And you heard her voice already. She is somebody who is a very well liked on Big Brother Canada 2, a fan favorite, somebody who I have a lot of respect for, a fellow super fan of the game. She was the secret house guest that season. I guess could we call her a wild card, I guess. It's Allison White, ladies and gentlemen. Allison, how are you doing this evening?
I'm really well. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
So happy to have you. I'm so excited. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. Been waiting to talk some BB Can 4 with you, Allison. I've had a lot of people tweet me and say, get Allison on the show. Let's get Allison. So you guys asked, and here we are. Allison is here for you today, and this should be a very, very fun show. Really good episode, and I'm excited to get into it. And last but not least, of course, with me as always to break down the live feeds, get into all that kind of stuff. You know, I am the beauty. And he is the brains. It's the great Taryn Armstrong, ladies and gentlemen. Or maybe it's the other way around. Really, maybe you're just both, Taryn. I think you're the beauty and the brains, and I'm just, you know, I'm just along for the ride. Taryn, how are you this evening?
I don't know. I mean, that was very flattering, but I'm just not vibing this, man. I'm sorry.
Oh no, we lost Taryn. Oh no, he said. Oh, but I can see his sweater. So he's still here, thankfully. Not pulling a Joel on us. Did Rob put you up to that? Was that your task? Do you win a reward for us for when we go to Live Know It Alls next month, Taryn?
Yeah, totally. You know, I thought briefly before I did this that it would be way funnier if I came on a podcast I actually wasn't going to be on and did that and then just legitimately left and somebody else came and replaced me. But I had the idea too late.
That would have been good. That would have been really good. Or you could have told Brent to come and then Brent showed up and then Brent could have done that and you could have swapped in. That would have worked out well. All right. Just to set things up for you guys, we had some technical issues at the top of this. So we are live on Blab today, not on a Google Hangout. So the questions will be a little bit different today. If you want to, we have a chat on the right-hand side of your screen. So if you want to leave a question for us, type in /Q and then type in your question. We'll get into those later on in the show. And we're going to start off by talking about the episode tonight, and then we'll get into the live feeds later on. So if you don't want to know who won the veto and that kind of stuff, we won't spoil it for you. So don't worry. We've got you covered either way, whether you're just watching the show, watching the feeds, watching all of it. Should be a very fun episode to talk about. I'm super stoked. And let's jump into a top story of tonight. Live in La Vida Loca, maybe not anymore after those nominations. La Vida is the HOH. And she nominates Christine and Cassandra for eviction this week. And really, the editing was a little strange with this because we kind of saw, I mean, there was a lot to jam into that episode. We had to get the, you know, Joel's date, which was great. And we'll get into that in a little bit and all sorts of game talk. But we didn't really get to see why, other than Cassandra's comment, why La Vida wanted to put those two on the block. Allison, what was your take on that decision by La Vida to put those guys up?
I was actually watching feeds that entire day, so it was very much a flip-floppy thing. I am really upset that she decided to go that way. I really thought that she was going to just, you know, go for the power couple, like, stick to her guns, like, that's what she wanted to do, and, like, take a big move. And here she's saying, oh, it's too early, it's week three. Honey, you almost went homeless last week. Do it. Like, don't wait around for, you know, week four or five when you won't have power, you might not even be there. So it's like I don't understand it. Like, I was talking to Netta actually last night, and she compared it to Ika's HOH when she could have put up Kenny and Andrew, but decided to put up myself. Was it myself? No, it was Heather and Paul or something.
Well, wasn't it? Didn't someone win the? Weren't you? Didn't you were on the block initially? I think, and then you got the veto, took yourself off.
That was also next week? Yeah, that was Rochelle's HOH. So she put up me and Heather, and then but she backdoored Ika. I don't know.
Right.
So I just feel like Nikki said on the feed, she told Levita, if you put up Cassandra and Christine, it's a waste. And Nikki was right. Like, what?
Well, it was just really interesting because for me, as soon as Levita won HOH, I was stoked. I was super excited because I thought, all right, this is great. You know, going from the top. Very rare you see, a Paul Jackson like HOH go from first HOH to on the block and essentially out the door back to HOH that quickly. I thought, okay, she's just going to probably go Kelsey and Jared. But in my head, people were asking what would I do? And I think I would try to gain goodwill with the Jared and Kelsey side and maybe just take a shot at people who no one cares about, like Christine. However, in this situation, it seems as if she kind of was a little all over the place talking to people, saying, you know, we saw that conversation with Ramsey and she's like getting short with people and making all these deals. And then she still nominates the third wheel's ally in Cassandra. So she makes them mad. So it's sort of like, like you were saying with the whole Ika thing, just kind of like doing this little jig in the middle here and not really knowing what to do. And now it's not really looking so great. Taryn, can you describe the day of that day after Levita won the HOH and what she was doing was she making it's because from what I've heard, it sounds like she was just making deals with everyone that day.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as she won, I was like, why did she do this? You know, like she should have been trying to throw that as much as possible because she spent all week last week making good, decent relationships with people. They were under the assumption that we've got Levita now. We feel close to her. We're going to use her. And she then won the HOH and now she has to turn on one of those sides, and that we saw her have a lot of trouble with it as soon as she won the HOH. She was talking to everyone and every single person was like, oh yeah, we're good with you, Levita. We want to work with you. And she was like, what do I do? They all want to work with me. It was a lot of, I got to do this. I got to do this. Different people telling her different things. Her closest allies telling her to go after Kelsey and Raul, but her thinking, well, if they want me to go after them, is that good for me or is it good for them? And it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, really, really, really interesting. And we saw on the show too today. I mean, she goes to. This is why, and now I can see why people had. I mean, we saw that scene from Nikki earlier in the episode today, and she said, "I don't get why does everyone hate Levita? I don't know why." And now we can see because of that first HOH, we didn't really see the feeds, but we saw tonight again. Levita has not learned from her mistakes. She says she summons Jared to her HOH room and says, okay, Jared, we're going to do this and this is the deal, whatever. Okay, you take that, yes or no? All right, you're going to take it. Okay, now go get Raul and Kelsey and bring them to my office. It's like, you're not the principal, Levita. That's not a strict, nobody likes the principal. You don't want to do that and have call people and summon them to your office. It's just not a good idea. She's doing that. They're mad about the whole situation. It's just not fun. Allison, I mean, you on your season, there were a lot of people who were kind of power hungry like that a little bit. You know what that's like firsthand, right?
I guess so. But I don't know. It's 2 years ago. I don't even remember where. I don't remember any of it. God, who was power hungry? I mean, I was like the first week or so. I didn't even know where I was to, and you know, I was busy like dealing with all the girls hating me, and then. After that, I was on the block and thought, well, I was going home anyway. And then, well, I got caught up with Andrew and that was stupid. And then, so I don't know. Who was power hungry? I don't know.
Well, like, I'm just trying to think like,
I don't know. He just kept winning. And then
I'm trying to think here, like, you know, someone like Sabrina, although she was never HOH, but just kind of like bossing you around. Right. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, that's just not. When you're in the game and you're playing, you never like to be, nobody, I mean, that's just a thing in life, right? Like nobody likes being told to do. Like Taryn, when I told you, hey Taryn, you have to come on the Sunday recap with me tonight, you probably, like, unless I like give you incentive to come on with me by bringing Allison here to talk with us as well.
Yeah, that was the deal we made.
Yeah, of course. Otherwise,
yeah,
you would have been like, well, no, like why would I do that? Like, that's just, so it's just interesting to see this whole thing break down with LaVita, but it's super entertaining because that's something that I've really liked this season, is they've gone away from the big super fans and they've gone with a lot of people who have a little bit of knowledge of the show, but really have no idea what they're doing. Allison, what do you think about that approach to the casting this season?
I mean, it's been really entertaining so far. Like, I really love this season so far, but it is, as a fan of the show and the game, it's hard to watch these people, like, especially on the feeds, ask stupid questions or like not know who someone is, or, you know, it's just like when Dallas, I can say this because it was before, when Dallas was trying to say that if the veto holder used the veto, they can still go up and like things like that. I was just like, you're in the house. You need to, like, was he doing that purposely? I don't know, but he was pissing me off. So it was just, I don't know. I can't do that. This whole LaVita is supposed to be a super fan. What?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I was gonna say that.
I mean, I'm wearing my brought my panda hat back, and I'm wearing a LaVita style hairdo in her honor because she's so wacky. But girl, you ain't no super fan. I mean, I'm not a super fan either. People call me one. I don't think I am one, but I'm more super fan than she is, clearly.
Well, you had a Shield shirt going into your season, so I feel like that kind of qualifies you as a super fan. But yeah, LaVita, I mean, Taryn, I saw on Twitter, and I didn't actually witness this myself, but somebody was, I saw that like LaVita was having a conversation with Kelsey about how much they had watched the show. And apparently LaVita said like she has a friend who is really into it. And Kelsey found that to be like really strange. Am I off the mark on that?
No, you're not. They were talking about, like, it's weird that some people are just like crazy into it and they like watch the feed. LaVita said she tried watching the feeds once and they were super boring, so she just couldn't get into it. So that's her being a super fan. And she has been calling herself a super fan. The thing is, though, I think that I don't think it's the lack of fans in the house that's making it so exciting so far. I think all of the favorite players in the house, they're all fans of the show. All of the people that are kind of playing the more boring games are the recruits. They're doing stupid things, which can add some spice. But this week has been the most exciting week, at least for me. And that's because LaVita has been thinking in really strange terms. And there's a lot of the people in the middle who are fans of the show and know what they're doing. There's a lot of back and forth, and there's a lot of very, like, subtle things that are going on that makes it really exciting and flipping back and forth. And last week was kind of straightforward because it was a revenge nomination, and that's what recruits do, you know? So I'm not sure I buy the recruit is a good strategy thing. I think you at the very least want a healthy mix. So that's where I stand.
Yeah, I think that's the key, is you need a good mix of both. You don't want to have, you need to have, you know, the right number of LaVitas, and you have to have the right number of your Mitches in the house. It's got to be that good balance, because if it's like last season where it was just all super fans and way too many, I mean, the gameplay was really good at certain aspects, but I feel like, you know, a lot of the drama was all manufactured from the twists and not necessarily.
To be fair, there wasn't really a chance for the drama to manufacture itself. With how many twists there were.
Well, you said it, not me, Taryn. Allison, quick question for you. Bigger super fan of Big Brother, LaVita or Sabrina Abate, who famously called Brendan of Brendan and Rachel when Rachel was on the sideshow, hey, Rachel, how is Brandon doing?
How is Brandon doing? Oh, God. Oh, that's a hard question. Christ. Oh shit. Am I allowed to swear?
You can say whatever you want.
Okay.
No, I said it. I said it again.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with LaVita, maybe. Maybe she's hiding her knowledge. I don't know. But
I think LaVita knows more. She just has a very different idea of how to play the game.
When Sabrina argues with you that Evil Dick wasn't in season 8. That's pretty much it.
Did she? I missed that. She argued that Dick was not on season 8.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Wow. I wish she was on our season. It would have been so funny. Oh my gosh, Sabrina. Sabrina is the best. She really is a mastermind. That's Sabrina. Okay. Let's talk a little bit more. And I actually, one thing I wanted to bring up, Taryn, is, and you know what? I completely forgot what it was. So I'm just going to pretend like we didn't even get into that. So we're going to move on.
It was such a smooth dismount. Like he went straight in, back out.
Straight back in, straight back out. You know, it's something I've learned. It's the art of I don't know what it is. It just has to do with so many of these live shows. I've just figured it out. But we'll just edit that out of the audio, and no one will even know.
Just for you live watchers.
Just for you live watchers, you'll see that. Okay. But okay, let's talk about Jared, Kelce, Raul. I want to know what it was like, you know, because we saw on the show, it seemed like Kelce was really offended by this whole situation. Taryn, was Kelce going around the house on the feeds complaining about this whole deal that LaVita was offering her? Because it seemed like she was like super bitter about this whole situation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to be fair, she had already been complaining prior to the deal being tried to be struck with her. She heard from Nikki that LaVita had been saying that she can't trust Kelce or whatever. So Kelce was already upset at LaVita at that point from the information she got from Nikki. And then she went up there and she hates that she has to pretend to be her friend and she just can't stand it. So she's constantly complaining to Jared and Raul about LaVita. And that I don't think that's going to stop anytime soon.
Well, they're very interesting. I mean, for LaVita, she's trying her best, Allison. She really is. But I don't know. Does she have after this? I mean, and we won't talk about the veto yet, but just based off of these nominations, how many weeks do you think beyond this one, do you think LaVita can last in this game?
Oh, it's so hard and impossible to tell, Jordan.
Well, that's why I asked you, because you're so wise, Allison.
I'm so wise. So wise. If it stays the way it is with the current nominees, I don't think she's going to last much longer. However, if somebody wins the veto and uses it, say her or someone else, and she ends up backdooring someone, or, you know, putting someone else up, and I feel like that could change her game significantly. Okay. And maybe she'll have a longer shelf life. I don't know. But that's okay. Just my original wisdom thought.
Wisdom thought from Allison White. There you go. Okay. Let's just talk a little bit more about the episode here in general, guys. What do you think about the statement, Taryn, that Kelce made to Jared, saying like, oh yeah, if we would have listened to me, it was my idea. We were going to get rid of LaVita. That's what we should have done. We never should have got rid of Shari. Is that an accurate statement? Was Kelce the only one saying to get rid of LaVita?
Pretty much everyone said they wanted to get rid of LaVita and they wanted to get rid of Shari, because at least everyone in Third Wheel, they went back and forth so often. I mean, we heard a brief mention of it in the opening montage where they were like, I just keep going back and forth within each day. And it's like, that's really how it was. She really was dead set on taking out LaVita for a while, but Cassandra and Mitch kind of changed her mind. Jared flip-flopped back a few times and it was a mess.
Allison, what do you think of the statement that Kelce made saying she's the brains of the operation and Jared is just the beauty? What do you think of that statement there?
I watched that live and I almost, like, it was an instant face palm. Is that what it is? I don't know what it is. Yes, I hit myself in the head. It was, oh man, I just hate how cocky she was in that moment. And that was what she was actually talking about there, is like she wanted to convince everybody else to vote out Shari, but then convince LaVita's closest people to evict her, so that when LaVita stayed, she would have no one. That was her plan, and she thought it was amazing.
Her master plan. Yeah.
Jared wanted LaVita out. Essentially, Jared put up LaVita because of Kelce. Like, what is she? Anyway, I just find she's just trying to you know, seem like this mastermind and, oh, you should have listened to me, when she's clearly has no insight into what she's been saying or, you know, what she should be doing. I just can't. I can't anymore.
Okay. Yeah, I think a lot of us are feeling the same way. I mean, it's funny. Going into this season, I remember seeing the cast and I thought, okay, Kelsey is Ashley and Jared is Zach. But, you know, just seeing how Kelsey's behaving in the house, I mean, she couldn't be further from Ashley Wood. I mean, she's so much more different, at least with how she's been behaving so far. It just seems like she doesn't really have a grasp on what's going on, how people really are perceiving her. And it's just, she has this arrogance about her that is just really turning me off of her. And it's turning, I think, a lot of people off of her. And I hope that's not what she's like in real life. I mean, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt, but I don't know. I don't know, Taryn, is that really what Kelsey's like?
I don't know. I mean, I think that she's still riding the power high from last week. And I think that the second she gets humbled, she'll turn into a more tolerable character like most other people that play the game. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's necessarily what she's like in real life, but certainly not the most endearing character at the moment.
Jordan, well, question for you.
Yes.
Quickly. Did you always wish that people were different on the outside, or was it only after you played the game and you knew that you were going to meet us? Because I'm sure when you watch season 2, you're like, oh, that bitch. You know, oh, but now you're like, oh, I really hope that they're nice on the outside because I know they're going to be part of my family and I want to love them.
Yeah, straight up, because before I didn't care because I was like, I'm never going to meet these people. But now I'm going to have to meet Kelsey and hang out with her. And, you know, she's probably going to come back to this video and be like, you called me arrogant. I hate you. And I'm going to be like, yeah, you're right. But, you know, I tried. Yeah. I'm sorry. But yeah, it's true though. And it is interesting because I think a lot of people watch this show and they see people on the feeds and in the game and in the DR and they judge people. I mean, that's human nature. You're going to judge certain people. I do it. We all do it. It happens. But when you get into the real world, people are a lot of times are different. Now, not all the time. A lot of the times people are insane still. And it's very, it's quite entertaining and funny. And actually getting to meet everyone, I was like, okay, all right. Like, this is actually how a lot of these people are. But a lot of times I went in with certain perceptions of individuals and I left afterwards realizing, you know what? That person's actually pretty cool. So it happens. You know what it's like, Allison. That house makes you go insane. If I had only seen that one, you know, infamous YouTube clip of you, I would be like, oh my gosh, this person's a little nuts, but I've hung out with you. And I'm like, oh, Allison's actually really cool.
Like, actually, like, you can't get stuff taken off YouTube ever.
No, like, trust me. I've tried. I think there's close to a million views of myself and another individual from my season in a bed, like making out and stuff. And it just, I don't want that on YouTube anymore, but
where is it?
It's there. It's there. If you want to see it, just go type in Jordan Big Brother Canada 3 on YouTube. And then after like 5 blindside videos, that's what come up. It's fun stuff. Okay. We were talking about somebody who's not super endearing as of right now. But let's talk about somebody who is really endearing.
Joel!
Yes, Joel. Yeah. How can you not love Joel, right? I mean, this guy is... I love Joel. Like, when I grow up, I want to be just like Joel. I mean, he is just, like, the nicest guy. So funny and caring and kind. And then there's a big thing on the feeds today with him as well, which we'll get into in the live feed portion, because I imagine that will probably make the edited television show. But just to... just an unbelievable guy, but interesting that he gets this task. I mean, I guess it's not, because, I mean, if you're going to think of somebody to go on a date in the house, Joel is probably the first person you would want to see do that. Right, Allison?
Yes, absolutely. I love him. What a muffin. Oh.
How has he never been on a date in his life, though? I mean, he talked about how he's, like, very single, and I mean very single. He's mentioned that several times, but never been on a date, like – poor guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, but I can, he is that kind of immediately friend-zoned guy. Like, he's so cute. and you just want to be his friend and hug him and stuff. Like, I don't know. That's probably what happened.
But even but even I had been on a date before Big Brother Canada, and you know, right?
He did
have
say
you seen your butt, Jordan. Sorry. Oh, the apple. Okay, sorry. Go, Taryn. Taryn, go.
Fair statement.
He did say to Cassandra that he has been on a date with somebody. Like, he's been set up. He's gone out with somebody before. He's just never been, like, with a girlfriend on a date. And so that's okay. The kind of difference. He's never an actual girlfriend.
Okay, so he's never, like, asked a girl on a date. It's just been, like, you know, Joel's buddy from work is like, hey, Joel, you know, you should go on a date with Sally from accounting. I think you and her would get along real great. And then they go for coffee, and then I don't know.
Right.
If it goes how that date went, probably didn't really. Well, we do know Joel says he hasn't had too much success. So sorry for Joel, probably didn't go so well. But I've got a feeling after the show, I think Joel is going to do just fine for himself. Right, Allison, would you go on a date with Joel?
A friend date. I'd go on a friend date with Joel.
Okay, well, that counts. That's something.
It's already there.
Not my type. But you know what? I won't say that. I'm going to say if I get to know him outside of the house, I would consider going on a date with him. Yes.
All right.
I take that all back. You know, I don't know the guy. He's probably, like, he's so endearing and lovely. I would go on a date with him. Yes, sure.
All right,
there we go. I'd love to get to know him better.
And also, breaking news in the live chat. I haven't fact checked this, so I don't know if it's legit. But according to @TeenageTyson, the video I was referring to myself from Big Brother Canada 3 has 2,073,375 views. So, yeah. There you go.
You could be on the season of The Amazing Race with that kind of viewership.
Jordan, can I ask them to tweet the link to me so I can?
Yes, at Teenage Tyson. If you want to tweet at Ally Dub and send her the link so she can watch it,
Let's make it 76.
There you go. Maybe I'll see if Scott St. Pierre can put it in the show notes so you guys can. I won't do that. I don't want you guys to. I don't want more publicity to that video.
That's okay. I understand. Yes.
Okay. This task, though, from Joel, I mean, the one thing that it really taught me, I think, is not that, like, I really love Joel, because I already knew that I really love Joel, but I really, really like Cassandra for how she handled that whole situation. She was super kind to Joel, like, super nice, and was like, hey, like, trying to help him out and, like, all this kind of stuff. Taryn, does Cassandra like this with a lot of people in the house or just Joel?
So I think she comes off a bit strong to some people, especially people like Levita, where last week she was very, very kind to Levita. She was like there for her when she was down, but it just came across like, I'm putting you in my back pocket right now. And Levita saw through it. And then the comment, obviously, especially, just really put it over the edge. And she makes those kinds of comments kind of often, and she blames it on the other person for not getting her sense of humor, which I don't think is a good thing to do. That said, she does get along with a lot of people. It's just she doesn't have a lot of, like, really close relationships. She kind of just has that sense of, like, it just might be a little bit fake.
Okay, so it's kind of like, you know, Donald Trump's knowledge on everything. He knows lots about everything, just like a little bit to, like, explain it, but just he can't, like, if you go deep into it, he's screwed. That's what you're saying?
Sure.
Politics, what?
I'm sorry for bringing politics onto this podcast. The nonsense will continue from here on out. Allison, if somebody said to you after winning HOH, I can't believe that dumb bitch won. Would you nominate them as well?
Not just on that, but
but, like, you would get offended, right? Because, like,
because
Cassandra seemed like that was the one thing that, like, where I was like, okay, I saw the thing with Joel, and I thought, okay, this is great. I love Cassandra, but then when I saw that, and she was like, oh, it was just a joke, and it's like, well, like, that's, you kind of can't really call someone that. They're gonna get offended if you say that, especially after they went head of household.
And that definitely wasn't a joke. Like, the way she said it wasn't a joke. She didn't expect her to see. She was like, I can't believe that dumb bitch. But, like, she was saying that underneath her breath. Like, and to she
said
Kelsey.
It. She said it. Yeah, to Kelsey, like the enemy of Levita, and they laughed about it together. Like,
exactly. And then she was just saying it was a joke to try to cover her ass. That's all it was. Like, if it was a joke, like you would go up to her and be like, "You dumb bitch! I can't believe you won." Like, that would be a joke, not, "Oh, I can't believe that dumb bitch won." Like, backtracking now.
Excellent point. Yeah, that's one. That's a big thing, right? It's the context in which it's being used, and when she's talking to Kelsey, you know, like laughing about it, then obviously that's a situation. That would be like sort of like on my season, Jinja Ninja, after Kevin won the HOH, the Storytime HOH in week two, he just went around to everyone and was like, "Yeah, Johnny, he's going home. He's going home." And he went around saying that to everyone. And then afterwards saying to Johnny, "Actually, you know what, bro? Like, I didn't actually mean that, man. Like, that was just like a joke." No, like when you're going around to everybody saying that kind of thing, like, you know, it's not really a good idea for your game. Mind you, with Greg, at least Johnny wasn't head of household. You know, when somebody's HOH and they're 5 feet from you, you know what it's like, Allison, in that backyard. Everyone, you can hear exactly what people are saying, especially after a competition.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. Hearing gets better in there. It's weird.
Do you have any distinct memories of people saying things after an HOH win that kind of like led you on to something?
Holy crap. Like, that would be a question that you would have asked me 2 years ago when I got out.
But now it's gone. It's gone.
Now it's completely gone. I don't recall, but perhaps, probably, yes.
Okay.
But then again, no one ever said anything around me. I was the mole. I couldn't adjust it.
I was hoping Paul would have said something. We love hearing Paul content on this podcast. So, you know, anytime we can get some more PJ, it's great. And speaking of PJ, working on getting him on the show, not to get you guys a little excited, but might happen. It might happen. Paul Jackson might be the greatest guest and the greatest get we've ever gotten on this podcast.
I would love to see you and Paul just like chat for 2 hours. Like, it would be the best.
Yeah, it would be amazing. I have never spoken to Paul. I have a great admiration for Paul, and hopefully one day it will happen. Gizmo Kid 2122 in the chat says, "Since Godfrey." That's correct. Godfrey was a pretty great get. We can't forget about the lady please who was on the sideshow this week. Allison, did you check that out?
I did. I watched it. It was good.
Thoughts on the show, because we haven't really talked about this on the podcast yet. What are your thoughts on the sideshow format this season with Sarah Hanlon taking over for Gary?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I think she's doing great and she looks so good. Lisa is styling perfectly. It's lovely. I'm loving the dresses. I have to say though, I'm missing the rants. I loved their, like, Peter and Gary's rants. I was hoping that there was going to be like a cutaway to like a pre-recorded, you know, rant type segments this week, and there wasn't. I don't know if I love the he said, she said thing yet. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of like they're still trying to find their footing a little bit. I personally like this week better than the initial week. I kind of like it more, just like the talk show format, partially as well because it was more Godfrey time, and I just love Godfrey. But interesting show. Taryn, did you check out the sideshow?
Yeah.
We know how he feels about it based on that. If you want to check out the sideshow, if you go to hamsterwatch.com, I believe there are links there. If not, if you're struggling, tweet Taryn or I, we can help you out with that. Okay. Let's talk about, what else do we want to talk about this episode? One person that I really, and the main reason why I wanted to bring you on this podcast, Allison, is because you have an insight that nobody else in the community has, in terms of Big Brother. And that is, the whole Tim and Nikki thing coming into the house after the game has already started and then getting a week of immunity to kind of buy you a little bit of time. How do you think Tim and Nikki are doing ingratiating themselves into the house based on your experience and what you went through?
Okay. So I've been thinking about this since you asked me to come on, because Tim and Nikki are doing amazingly. Okay. And there are four reasons why, compared to me, they're having an easier time integrating. Now, I'm not saying that if I was in the same boat, I'd be able to integrate as well, because I was all messed up mentally, whatever. So
It happens.
I went in 2 weeks late. They went in 1 week late, right? So they went on the first eviction. I went in on the second. So we all know that in Big Brother world, a week of time is like a month. It's like insane, like for, you know, personal relationships and all that. not being able to have those 2 weeks was brutal for me. Second, they got, like, all the house guests got told why they were there, that Canada voted them in, and that they were just like everyone else. You know, there was no hidden agenda. They were just another player. I couldn't tell them that. I couldn't tell them I was voted in. I couldn't tell them, you know, I could tell them I'm just a regular player, but they didn't believe me. They had this unknown thing, this air about me that nobody could trust. So it made it harder. God, what was the third thing? Oh, shit. Hold on. I made notes. I swear.
Oh, you did make notes. Here we go.
Just for this part, I did. Hold on. I've had wine.
All right. Here we go. Allison is pulling up her notes here.
Right. Okay. So they do have the excuse of their different format, which helps a little bit. Right. Because they're like, oh, well, we don't know how to play this game. This is all a new learning curve for us. Blah, blah, blah. Which might not be true anyway. Definitely not true for Tim because he's watched Big Brother Canada. And I'd really like to know.
Maybe true for Nikki. Maybe true for Nikki.
Maybe true. I think, yeah, she's smarter than what she's letting on, I think. It's just like the way she plays Big Brother. I really just think that that's just her. And she understands the game. It's just, that's her. She's going to cry. She's going to be aloof, Nikki. She's lovely. I love her. But yeah, I'd really like to know what seasons of Big Brother Canada Tim has watched. Anyway, I digress. Fourth.
Oh, why, Allison? Is there a little bit of a...
We'll talk about that later. The fourth reason, they have each other. There's two of them. There's not just one. I was one person. There's two of them. That's huge. They're going to have each other's back. Like, I had no one. In like after 2 weeks and everybody being paranoid of me, like the fact that I stayed until seventh place is insane in my mind. I don't know. Well, that's just me.
I think that's a great point. I mean, you had your back against the wall from day one because of the whole twist. You really didn't have it. You were drawing dead essentially from the start because you're playing 2 weeks behind, which like you said, 2 weeks is really like 2 months of time in that house. So question for you then, Allison, if you and Nate enter the BB Cantu house, are you guys the new Chilltown?
You know it. Oh God, I've never actually thought about that. Like if I,
cause yeah, who would you have rather gone in with? Would you rather play with Nate or would you rather play with Scott?
Oh, do I have to pick between, Gotta pick one. Are they going to be upset because at that time, I mean, I probably would have picked Scott to go in with me if I could have picked one.
You're going to get in trouble for Big Brother Wild Card Edition.
I'm thinking about if I could win or not, or like who I could win against, I'd take Nate. See, I've been watching a lot of Big Brother Australia since Tim went in. So I'm thinking in their strategy now instead of, anyway.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
But yeah, I really think that the two wildcards are doing great. Like Tim is killing it and I'm obsessed and I can't even deal how obsessed I am. Like it's shit.
There was a tweet from Alec Beal tonight on Twitter and he said, how is Tim already better than everyone else at this game? Taryn, how is that a thing? How is Tim already the best player in the house? Is he the best player in the house?
It's debatable. I mean, him and Mitch, we can get into that when we go to the live feeds, but there's some interesting stuff going on there. But I think Allison pointed out a lot of good things as far as why the wild cards are more successful this time around. In addition to that, I think Tim in particular and Nikki to a lesser extent, the success is coming from the fact that they're very famous. And so these people, they're vying for these people's attention. They want them to like them because they're talking about how, you know, Nikki wrote a book. She had a TV show. Tim had people throwing themselves at him after the show. He was on the Celebrity Apprentice Australian edition. They want these guys to like them because they want a little bit of that shine on them. And in addition to that, they're playing a game where they're kind of pretending, they're acting as though they're separate. They're outside of the game that everyone else is playing. You know, you guys have your own machinations and I'll comment on it and I'll give you advice, but I'm not necessarily involved yet. And that's been helping them a lot. And then again, Tim in particular, that combined with his just, I don't care. I don't even care if I win. I don't even care if I'm here. I want to just be here, stir stuff up, have some fun. And, you know, do whatever. It's what kept Dr. Will alive for so long because people just see, like, we know we could get Tim out. We know that maybe he's being, you know, he's lying a little or whatever, but why bother? You know, he's just here for fun. He's not going to necessarily win the game or anything. I think Tim is doing really well with that strategy. We haven't seen it done that well since Dr. Will. I really want to see him do well in the future.
It's going to be fun watching Tim as this game goes moves forward. He's just so, you can't help but love him. He's got that cult of personality thing about him. It's just, you just gravitate towards him. He's electric. And he's even gotten my dad watching Big Brother again, which I never thought would happen after season.
No, me neither.
Yeah. So there you go. That's how great Tim Dormer is. Before we jump into live feeds, guys, is there anything else from this episode in particular that you want to talk about? Allison?
Oh, geez. We covered the Joel date. We covered LaVita. Oh, God. What else was there? Oh, just did we talk about how cute Nikki is? Like her just like in the bathtub, like talking about how much she loves LaVita. I just love LaVita. You know.
And Phil's crush.
Phil's crush on LaVita. Oh, yeah.
Crush. Yes.
Phil's crush not on LaVita, but Nikki. No. So what do we think about this? Is this actually, Allison, do you want this to be a thing, Phil and Nikki?
I would actually really enjoy watching that, I think. I really, really do. Like, I think that would be super cute. Because she's so, like, explosive at times, and he's just such a young bro type. It's just, it would be, like, a weird mixture, I really think. And he even said in the diary room, like, I don't know, she, like, cries randomly, and I still like her. Like, that's me. I just feel like that would be really funny to watch. Like, I would really like that to happen. Yeah, so please, Big Brother gods, make it happen.
Allison's shipping it. Taryn, are you shipping it?
Totally. That would be way more interesting to watch than, you know, Jared and Kelsey, who are predestined to be together on the show. I think that would be a really interesting dynamic. Phil is very energetic and like childlike in his enthusiasm at times. And Nikki is the same way in a different kind of way, like childlike in her expressions and the way that she thinks about things and talks about things. So I think it could be a really interesting dynamic to watch. And so I really hope that we get it at some point.
Do we know what the age gap, Phil is 21. Nikki is 33.
Yeah.
Okay, so although, you know, age is just a number. It's just a number, right? I mean, you know, sometimes there's people who are, you know, in their 30s, they have the maturity of people in their 20s. It happens.
Can we just talk about one more thing?
Yes, really, what would you like to discuss?
Just like the Cassandra-Tim flirtation. What do you guys think of that? I'm upset about it.
Allison, you're upset. You're mad because you want in on Tim. You want Tim. Okay. Yep. So there we go. Allison's throwing it out there. Breaking news on the happy hour. Allison White is gunning for Tim. So here we go. We know Niagara Falls in May.
No!
You guys stay tuned for that. Should be fun.
Stop it. I'm going to be like, hi, Tim. And then he's going to be like, oh, hello. And he's going to like walk off and like just like talk to everyone else. So I'm going to be like there in the corner drinking my wine, like staring at him like a creep.
It's okay. It's okay.
That's what the story of my life, like in real life.
Well, Allison, I have a proposition for you. I wasn't even going to say Joel, but yeah, if it doesn't work out with Tim, I'm sure Joel will be available. And if Joel is not available, because Joel's going to be, you know, he's going to be a hot commodity after this thing.
Totally. Okay.
What if Jace Wiry shows up in Niagara Falls? Would you be interested in that?
You know, I have heard whispers that he may show up. How old is he?
I believe like Jace. No, Jace and the Ginger Ninja, I think, are the same age. So I think 38. 38.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like he has more plastic in his face than I do, maybe. I don't know. I have no plastic. Can we just
So there you go.
Sounds like you're saying you had plastic.
No, yeah, I didn't. That was not well thought out. Sorry, see? Yeah, no, I never thought about that, Jordan. I don't know. I'm open to anybody. I haven't met any of these people. Maybe they're lovely, you know? I'm open to anything.
Okay. Well, what about last one before we get into the feeds that I'll bring up? What about if our good friend Dallas Bro? What if Dallas Bro ends up being single because his girlfriend is done with him after this season? Would you go on a date with Dallas, Daddy Dallas?
Are you saying that because he's the only one from the East Coast on the show this year, and I'm over here by myself?
Yeah, maybe just a little bit.
No.
No. All right.
He's poor Dallas. Garden gnome. No, I'm sure he's cool. I'd love to party with him and stuff, but
Allison is not down for the farting in the jars, unfortunately, I guess.
You know, I love a good joke, but when it's, I don't know. There's something about him that I don't know if it's, I don't want to say he's too loud and obnoxious because, hello, Andrew, hi. but. Love you, Andrew. He knows.
Andrew is actually, and for the record, Andrew is actually a very, going back to how you see people on the show and when you meet them in real life, Andrew is a very nice guy in real life. And I met him this summer and he was like just the kindest guy. So, you know, the house makes people go nuts. So
totally. And like I don't want to talk about edit too much, but you get edited a certain way. Like if you just so happen to be loud and obnoxious, half of the day, that's the half they're going to use probably.
Yeah, there's only so much show they can show. Exactly, right? Quickly, before we get into live feeds, update from the chat from at Kalantar Netta, not actually Netta Kalantar, but someone else. And at Noobs Allowed, they say Jace is 39 years old. So we were off by a year. So there we go. So fact checking there. Jace is 39, Allison. So maybe.
12 years older than I am.
Okay, there we go. And he is, 17 years older than I am. So good times. okay, let's jump into the live feed. So if you are watching this and you do not want to know who won the power veto, what's going on, who's going home, all that kind of stuff, now's your time to check out. Before you check out, though, don't forget to join us again Wednesday, live after the episode. I'll be talking to Bruno Aiello to break down the veto competition, all the aftermath of that kind of stuff. Maybe, I'm sure we'll see more of Joel. Lots of great things. Don't forget to check that out. Go to robiswebsite.com/rahappyhour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. Or you can give me a follow on Twitter. I'm at Jordan Parhar, and we will see you then. Okay, Taryn, let's talk about the live feeds.
Spoiler time.
Who won the power of veto?
Dallas won the power of veto.
Oh, there he is, Dallas. He may not be getting dates with Allison White, but he is winning POVs. So Dallas is your POV winner. And from what I read, apparently Dallas thought that if you win the POV, you can also choose who's nominated. Did I read that right?
He didn't think that, but he acted like that was how it worked though. And a lot of people, Levita at one point was saying if Dallas uses it and he puts you up, then what can I do? There's a lot of confusion around the talk about that. But, basically Dallas was not happy with the nominations. He wanted, Levita to go after Kelsey, Raul, Jared. When it didn't happen, he decided, okay, I hate the brothers. Why don't I just try to get the brothers backdoored? Because I think that Levita made a deal with Third Wheel. And to be fair, the brothers are after him to some extent, but most people were after him at that point. He just doesn't realize it yet. So he thinks, I'm going to win the veto. I'm going to take down probably Christine, maybe Cassandra, and then I'm gonna get Levita to put up the brothers, and we'll backdoor the brothers. He was so excited about this plan. Him and Maddie were super giddy about it. Ramsey was like, "What? Why would you do that?" And Dallas won the veto, and he was like, "Yes, I did it. The brothers are gonna be backdoored." And then he went and talked to Levita, and she was like, "No, I'm not gonna do that. Why would I do that?"
Oh no. Oh, Dallas. Okay, so now what's the situation then? Is Dallas still going to use the veto and he's just going to force Levita to do something, or is he going to leave them the same?
Dallas and Levita had a long talk where he said he wanted to backdoor the brothers. Levita said, no, I want Cassandra out. Cassandra's my target. I think that she is the person I want out for sure. Nothing you say is going to change that. And she's like, this isn't even good for your game. Don't antagonize the brothers. I'm going to call them up here right now, and we're going to tell them that you wanted to backdoor them, and we're going to cut a deal with them where you say, I'm not going to do it. So let's work together. That's how you play the game. That's how it works.
Was this today?
That was last night.
Oh my
God. I was working last night. That's why I don't know any of this. Okay.
Yeah, I was out last night, so I missed that as well. Okay. So basically this is like this is Paul Jackson giving advice on how to play Big Brother to Devin Shepherd, basically, Taryn.
Yeah.
Something like that. She was making a lot of sense at first. Like, this is how her mind works. We're like, we can go into this later, but I actually agree to some extent with the nomination she made. I don't think she should have gone after third wheel, but the way she went about it was utter nonsense. And that's just like LaVita in a nutshell, where she was explaining correctly to Dallas, like, this isn't a good move. You shouldn't be trying to do this. You should try to be working with the brothers. And then she goes like off the rails and says, let's call them up here and we'll talk about what we just talked about and try to make a deal that way. And now the brothers think LaVita's insane. They want her on the block, even though they're not sure they're going to target her next because they're not sure she's worth their time. But they're definitely like even more gung-ho on Dallas now because of what that whole situation was about. So I mean that was a whole mess.
So walk me through this, Taryn. So the brothers actually, so did LaVita summon the brothers to the HOH room with Dallas and they did all talk about the situation as a group?
Yeah, we unfortunately they cut the feeds like and we missed a good chunk of it. We caught the tail end of it where they were cordial about it and they were like, okay, this is good, like we'll work together in the future. But we've seen kind of the fallout from it where nobody feels comfortable about that except for LaVita to some extent.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so as of right now, Dallas has the veto. Veto ceremony, I think, is tonight, is it not?
It should be.
Usually it is, yeah.
Feeds haven't cut yet, though, so... I mean,
so we don't know what's going on with it. Maybe tomorrow morning. Okay. Yeah, so we think that Dallas is not going to use the veto, then.
Right now, there's been... This is like shades of Big Brother 17, the early weeks, and what's been going on this week. We also have a lot with Mitch and Joel, where immediately after LaVita wins the HOH, she goes to Mitch and Joel. She says, I trust you guys the most. And these guys, they're two guys that are playing the middle. They tried to get her to target third wheel because they want her to get the blood on her hands. They can have their hands clean. Mitch in particular was doing work with Jared, preparing him for Kelsey to leave so that Mitch could pick him up, pick Raul up, and secretly have them on the side. Unfortunately, he can't get Love to make this move. Because the more that he tries to convince her to do it, the more she doesn't want to do it because she wants to do something that only she wants to do. So that Jeez. Goes on. Another interesting thing is that Mitch kind of caught on to what Tim is doing. Tim at one point was like, yeah, put up Cassandra. I don't care. Let's send her home. I don't even like her anymore. She annoys me. And then afterward, he was like, can you believe LaVita put Cassandra on the block? And Mitch caught that. He told LaVita. LaVita was super sketched out by Tim. She had a conversation with him saying, like, I don't know if I can trust you. You're really shady. Tim completely smoothed it over, got LaVita back on his side. He's talking about wanting a middle person's alliance. He calls them the stones because the waves, they crash back and forth. The rocks, they stay put. They're not floaters, they're rocks.
What is with him and rocks?
He really likes rocks.
He loves rocks.
So he wants this alliance to be, or at least what he told LaVita was, he wants the alliance to be Mitch, Joel, him, Nikki, and LaVita, and then also the brothers, but let's not tell them. But he doesn't actually want to work with LaVita. She's too crazy. So he actually wants the brothers in and not LaVita, which would be an amazing alliance if it worked out. And what is interesting is that Mitch is on to Tim. Tim doesn't quite know yet that Mitch is on to him to that extent. But I think we're going to see kind of like a cold war between the two where they're recognizing that they're both really good and they're going to be taking really subtle swipes at each other, trying to undermine each other's credibility throughout the game. And I think it's going to be really interesting to watch if they're able to stick together.
Yeah, like they're two of my favorites. Like Mitch is my pick to win, like from the actual Canadians.
Yeah.
And then Tim, obviously. So I don't want them to be against each other.
I know, right? Well, hopefully, because Tim keeps talking about, like, I haven't talked to Mitch yet. I really need to talk to Mitch. He really needs to talk to Mitch. Like, he should have already done it before Mitch had kind of caught on to him. But hopefully he talks to Mitch soon and they really get this together. Tim and Joel and Mitch, they all kind of want the brothers in the game as the kind of the face of the middle ground people so that they will go first. And that seems like what's going to happen. A lot of people are targeting the brothers. A decent amount of people are targeting Dallas still. And magically, LaVita is kind of safe in all this. She, you know, Kelsey still doesn't like her, but Jared is legitimately like, you know what? I had some good talks with LaVita. I don't think we need to go after her next week. I think that barring an unlucky HOH win, LaVita could be safe next week. And then all she needs to do is just stay away from winning competitions for a while. And I think she'll be dragged along just because of all the shenanigans she did. People are going to be like, I mean, it's going to be like Sabrina where, you know, she was crazy and now people are like, yeah, she's crazy. We're just going to like let her
sit. Yeah, she's crazy. Just let her sit in the corner.
Exactly.
Kind of deal. Yeah.
Allison, should this be the new strategy in Big Brother to just be get HOH twice really early on and then just screw them both up so royally that everyone just thinks you're terrible at the game and you can't win?
If you manage to stay, Jesus, how did that happen? I still don't know. I honestly wish that Shari stayed. She was in my pool. I lost a lot of points. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had her in a few pools as well. Shari, I felt like had what it took to really go far in the game, but I don't know what it is about LaVita, but I just I have kind of ripped on her a little bit and stuff tonight, but I do. She's fun to watch. I can't help but watch her. I don't know.
A paranoid train wreck.
Yeah.
Like, honest to God, like, she's just so serious all the time. Then she makes a joke, but it's like, ha ha, someone laughed at my joke. Ha-ha. And like, she just looks so uncomfortable all the time. It's so awkward. But she's like, I love her, but I wanted her to leave. But I'm kind of glad she stayed because she's like, this week on Feeds has just been like, what?
She's everything you would want to see in a player when you're looking for entertainment, because she's thinking so strategically that she's going in circles and her social game is just a mess. And so things are going on all over the place. Mitch and Joel are going to make another push to try and get her to backdoor Kelsey, or at least they were talking about it. They're not sure if they should push again because she seems really resistant. I don't think she's going to do it. I think she's probably going to try and keep the nominations the same. And she's going to try and get Cassandra out, but does she have the votes? It's unclear at this point. We may see another scenario where her pawn goes home.
I just like wish this girl would stop with the girls. Like, what's happening? She hates girls. Literally, her whole, well, I guess she had Raul on the short list this week, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So one guy out of eight.
Okay, let's think hypothetically. Okay, let's say Dallas just goes rogue, because we've seen that happen before. What is LaVita? Because, right, it could happen. I mean, there's still a lot of time, right? It's, you know, it's 9:12 Eastern time. These guys usually stay up pretty late. And if the veto ceremony is tomorrow, you never know what's happening. And maybe that's why they've kind of pushed off holding the veto ceremony, because they want to wait and see, okay, well, maybe something can happen. Taryn, what do you think LaVita would do? Let's say... I don't know. Let's say Dallas wins and he takes Christine off the block. Who's going up?
It's not super clear. I think she would probably put up Maddie if Dallas used it going rogue, just to like, you know, Dallas, if you're going to use it, I'm going to put up your ally. I did see recently, like, Nikki suggested Mitch or Joel, and she was like, I think I'd need to talk to them first. And I'm seeing right now that Dallas is trying to pitch to LaVita now, let's backdoor Jared. So I that's probably not going to happen. I don't think Dallas will use it. I think he'll be scared that Maddie will go up. And I think that if he does use it against LaVita's wishes, Maddie is probably going to go up.
Oh man. Well, I just love this game so much. I mean, this is just, there's so many things happening. It's so great. And, you know, I'm so excited. This is going to be great. I hope he uses it. I really do. Probably not, but even if not, we'll see what happens. One thing I want to ask you about as well, Taryn, is Christine. We saw Christine had pretty much like the worst possible attitude you can have after being nominated this week. After this, the nominations, she calls Levita a bitch in the diary room. She's like, well, I saw that coming. And you know, which is like, well, you know what? You kind of were rude to Levita last week when you won the POV. So I don't know. You should kind of be able to take it when she wins HOH. But alas, how has she been handling things on the feeds since the nomination ceremony and since not winning the power veto competition?
I think her way of handling it has been to avoid the feeds and avoid doing anything at all, because she's just been invisible. She hasn't done anything. I've barely seen her talk to anybody. I don't think she's had a single conversation of like legitimate strategy for how to save herself yet. I think she's kind of relying on, I'm just going to play possum and hope that the votes don't fall my way. That's basically what she's doing. And then get really angry when bad things happen that she doesn't like.
Yeah, I find her really like arrogant in a way. Like,
interesting.
She sits around all, you know, she cleans and eavesdrops or whatever she does. But then she'll like go in the room for half the day and lie in bed and just complain usually. I don't know. And then like, then she says, oh, you know, she thinks she's a great player or something she said one day. I don't know.
In fairness to Christine, I'm pretty sure everybody in the Big Brother house at some point, at least they probably don't say it, but I think everyone thinks, man, I'm a really good player. I'm such a good player. Guys, I'm so good at this game that I'm going to volunteer to go on the block and throw the power veto competition and no one's going to vote me out. I'm that totally good. Everybody thinks it at some point. So in her defense, I will give her that.
That's fair.
Interesting, right? Like, she's almost, I mean, a lot of people preseason were like, oh, she's kind of like Sarah Miller. She's kind of like Mumsy. But Allison, it seems like they're the complete opposite, right?
Okay, so I think that's what a lot of people were hoping, because she seems cool, like a cool older woman. Which might I just say, Sarah's not an older woman.
No, she's a young woman. She's not.
But she's just like, she was older in our cast, is all.
Quick interjection. I think Sarah was 32 when she played, whereas like everybody seems to think like Sarah was in her 40s. Sarah is like a very young mom. So anyway, Allison.
So I think that's what people were hoping for her, because like Sarah is very well liked. She was a great player. She left too soon. You know, she was a really well liked player. And I think that a lot of people were hoping that this Christine woman is going to be like her, because she seems really upbeat, really cool, you know. I don't know. She just came off that way. And I really don't see that coolness at all. Like, she's just there like a bed slug half the day. And, you know, I'm sure she's lovely, whatever. But I think she's just annoyed with all the younger kids, maybe. And, like, things aren't going her way. But, like, she's not really doing much to make things go her way. She's just, oh, I'm not really playing game. I'm not really in any alliances. I'm not blah, blah, blah. It's just, she's not like Sarah at all. Sarah was like half strategic, like in all of her thinking. So, you know, it's just, and stop calling her Mumsy. All of them are trying, like Dallas was trying to call Christine, like, I'm upset about this. And Dallas was trying to call Christine Mumsy. Like, get your act together. He was saying apparently he has watched the show. If you watched our season, that's just disrespectful, sir. I'm sorry, but it is. There is only one Mumsy. Okay.
And yet another reason why Dallas won't be getting a date with Allison after this season. There will hashtag Dallison will never be a thing.
Ruined his chances.
If only he didn't do that, it could have been different. Let's talk about something else from the feeds that I alluded to earlier that happened today. A really touching moment. Joel actually. Allison, do you want to talk about this? Because I feel like you enjoyed this just as much as I did.
It kind of came out of nowhere, because I saw Tim was making like this sloth cake, and I was like, oh, is it Tim's birthday or in Joel's birthday? I didn't understand what was really going on. And he like made this little cake with a candle and everything. And like before this movie that the veto people won or whatever, they all gathered in the living room. And, you know, I was thinking it was Joel's birthday or something. And Joel starts talking about his old, I think it was older brother,
yeah,
who passed away, and that today would have been his birthday. And I, like, you know, he told everybody about him, how he was an artist, and how, you know, he was always, you know, envious of his brother because he was cooler than Joel was and stuff, but he loved him and everything, and that he passed away and he was a really good artist and everything, and asked everyone to kind of sing happy birthday for him with him and then have a moment of silence. And seriously, that was the best cry I've had in a while, because that was probably the sweetest thing I've seen from somebody. And like, everyone was so accepting and supportive to him during the whole thing. It was beautiful. It was really beautiful.
Yeah, really, really beautiful. Just a real moment that, yeah, you know, we do get those from time to time on Big Brother. And, you know, we did get, you know, last week people were saying, oh, well, you know, Raul and Ramsey do the prayer thing. Like, that's really cool. But, you know, we have kind of seen that before on your season, Allison. And that was, don't get me wrong, that was a great moment. But seeing this moment for me, and I think for a lot of people, it was unique. Mm-hmm. And yeah, really heartwarming. And it goes to show that when you're in that house and you're playing that game, no matter how much you might dislike a certain person or for whatever reason, ultimately, when you're in there, everybody's got each other's backs. You've got, unless it's season two. I mean, season two is a little crazy, but for pretty much every other season, I mean, you know, you all have that camaraderie, and it was a really great moment. Taryn, we're assuming this is probably going to make the show. And based on what we've seen out of Joel, he's getting a really strong edit so far, just in terms of, you know, positivity. Do you think that Joel could become Canada's favorite next to Tim?
It seems like that's where they're headed. I think they're also putting a lot of chips in the Jared, you know, pool, with the edit he got. But I think Joel is kind of the star at the moment. Tim is going to be, you know, the feisty kind of fun Australian. Jared's going to be the heroic, you know, Superman. And Joel is going to be like, you know, the nerdy sweetheart that everybody loves. And I think so far he's been getting a lot of airtime, and I think he's going to get some more in the coming episodes. So yeah, I think he could easily be one of the more popular people here.
Totally. I mean, he's amazing. I love that guy so much. How can you not love Joel? And he's just a great dude. So I'm really happy for him. It seems like he's having the time of his life in there. So let's see how far Joel can go with this thing. And hopefully this, the Stones Alliance can actually become a thing, because that would be pretty sweet. Quickly before we wind things down, I've completely lost track of the time. I haven't even taken any questions yet. So before we get into the questions, quickly, Taryn, what is the – right now, if the veto is not used, we have Cassandra on the block, we have Christine on the block. What is it looking like? What's going to happen here? Where are people thinking – what do they think about this?
Part of me wishes I could tell you. But part of me is glad that I can't, because it's still very much up in the air. Kelsey was just talking with Jared and Raul about, what do we do if the noms stay the same? I don't really trust Cassandra anymore. Do we just take her out and you know, keep Levita kind of happy? Even though I don't care about keeping Levita happy, like, I don't really trust Cassandra anymore, because there was some beef between them after the whole thing, you know. Levita told her, Cassandra told me that it was fine to put you up as a replacement instead of you, and stuff like that. So there's a lot of sketchiness going on there. And then obviously it also just depends on what Dallas and Maddie and Ramsey decide to do. And then also, I think, again, what's going to decide it is what Mitch and Joel and Tim decide to do. Where do they want to go? At the moment, Joel especially wants to keep Cassandra because he feels close to her. And he thinks it's in his best interest to have her in the game. But if he sees the tide turning the other way, he may feel like, well, maybe I don't want to make Levita upset here, because I do think it's, and this is part of the reason why they want to get the noms changed. They're kind of picking a side with this vote, where if they don't vote Cassandra off, then Levita knows for sure, like, you just totally screwed me. But if they vote Cassandra off, then that's a potential ally gone. I personally think for Joel's game, he should drop Cassandra. She's not very loyal to him, even though I think he thinks she is. And I think that it works. It works for him, especially if Tim is okay with it and the rest of the house is okay with it. Just go with the flow. Let Cassandra go, and move on from there. But again, it's still very much in the air. The third wheel, they like to change their mind all the time. The veto hasn't even been played yet. Who knows what LaVita will want after the veto is played? You know, like, so many things could happen. It could easily go either way.
Allison, if you are in this, if you're in the middle and you got to pick a side, if you're in Joel's shoes right now, what would you do? Would you get rid of Cassandra or would you go after Christine?
I think it's easy for Joel to kind of say he's going to vote at Christine. Like Taryn said, he's closer to Cassandra. You know, he's not close with Christine at all. And it's easy to play with your emotions in there. It, like, even though you want to say, you know, use your smarts, do the smart thing. You don't always do that. You get blindsided by emotions or, you know, feeling comfortable or what have you. And I don't think that he will go against Cassandra. But I do agree that it would be a good idea because she's got her hands in everybody's honeypot. And she's dangerous that way, I think, to be honest. If she stays, I think that she's, you know, if she stays, I think she's going to pull back a bit and maybe not do that as much. And then she's going to keep going. Because do you agree with that?
I think that's really astute because I think that so far she was doing really well, but she was too aggressive and she was in too many pots. And I think that if she is able to use this opportunity to learn from her mistakes and, adapt from that, I think that she could be a very dangerous player moving forward.
Yeah.
So I think if she stays, she's one to watch out for.
Yeah. Like, I actually really like her a lot. I think it was funny that you kept going with my pot analogy. I was thinking that she was getting too sticky and she just needs a shower and then just kind of start over and do a little dab. But I think she's dangerous. I really do. So I think it would be smarter for them to get rid of her now, kind of nip that in the bud there.
Well, selfishly, I made a bet with Rob that she's going to make it to the jury. So I'm really hoping, crossing my fingers, that she can pull this one out this week. And you said a little dab, like a little dab like that. Is that what we're going to get from me if Cassandra stays this week? Perhaps we'll get some of those on my Twitter if Cassandra is the one who is staying this week. But I don't know.
Can I just say, I really don't want her to make it to jury because you know that Tim will. And then we'll be in jury together. Oh, God.
Okay. You know what, guys? We don't have time for questions, but let's two quick things I would like to ask you, Allison. First, sure. Let's get your winner pick. Who's going to win this season?
Oh, it's so hard, though, with the internationals in there. Out of the core group, like I said, Mitch is my pick to win. I think he's so smart. He's playing the best game right now. Like, he reminds me, dare I say it, of Neda a bit. And he wears black and Saints. Imagine.
He does.
But, man, like, I love that kid. I love him. I have high hopes for him. But, man, Tim or Nikki. Like, Nikki is, like, shoo-in for final two, dude. Like,
right?
Like, we haven't really seen her in comps yet, but I don't know. I think she's shooing for final two, but Tim is such a manipulator. You never know like what he's going to do. The way he smoothed over that talk with LaVita when she was doubting him is really, really impressive. And he's adapted so well to the game already. So I don't know. I can't pick. Those are the three that are like up there.
All right. Those are the three. And then last question, Allison, before we wrap things up for this evening, what would you like your showmance name to be with Tim?
Think about that.
would it be Tim Allison? Would that work?
No, it's Timison.
Timison?
Ooh, Timison.
Or Alim? No, that wouldn't really work.
Talison's not.
My name is so hard to do that with. I'm always in the end. Like, you can never start with mine.
Yeah.
No.
It's awful.
Aim.
No, you
can. Yeah, aim.
Aim. That's it. Aim. I kind of like aim.
I do. Yes, let's do that. That's
aim. Okay, so there we go. We're gonna
hashtag
go with aim.
#aim
#aim and All right. Well, that wraps things up for this night's episode of the Reality TV We're Happy Hour. As I mentioned earlier on tonight, you can subscribe to the podcast. Go to robiswebsite.com/wrap-up. So you get all the podcasts from Reality TV We're Happy-Up. So that's my show, The Bachelor Wrap-Up, which has a very big episode coming up tomorrow night, the finale of The Bachelor. Allison, you watching The Bachelor this season?
No. Right. I usually do it with my mom, but I haven't been watching. I heard Allison is not really riveting.
It's always very riveting. So yeah. Jeff, definitely subscribe. You get that podcast and lots of other great stuff. And check us out on YouTube as well. Just check out the Reality TV Wrap-Ups page on YouTube so you can check out Allison's hat. You can see Taryn's sweater and the little thing he did at the start of this podcast where he pretended to hide when really he was just sitting on his couch the entire time. It was very great. So check that out as well. And reminder to all of you guys, leave a review and a rating for the podcast on iTunes. So you can do that by going to robiswebsite.com/wrap-happy-hour. And then from there, just leave a star rating and a review. And for three people that leave reviews at the end of the season, you're going to be getting a Jordan Parhar related prize. So not revealing what it is just yet, but it is something worth playing for. Or maybe it isn't. We'll find out once I reveal what it actually is.
I want it.
Well, leave a rating and review, Allison, and you can get
it. Is it the red apple undies?
Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe. So definitely go do that if you haven't already. And if you win, maybe you can donate the prize to Allison White if you're feeling generous. So don't forget to do that as well. And join us on Wednesday. I'll be back with Bruno Aiello from Big Brother Canada 3. We'll be talking about the veto, what actually is happening, who's going home. Alex Kidwell will be with us that night as well. So he will be telling us all about who's going home, the live feeds, all that kind of stuff as well. Okay, we need a hashtag for this evening, guys, for people to tweet us after the show to let us know what they thought about the episode. I think naturally we got to go with hashtag AIM because that's the show we came up with. The other hashtag that I would like to use is hashtag Evil Dick was not on season 8. So that's like a very... Very long hashtag. But if you can, it's an optional hashtag. So if you want to fit that in, you get bonus points from me because I still can't believe that Sabrina
Such
thought that.
A painful moment. Oh, yes.
So great. Or you could also use hashtag Brandon. That works as well.
Brandon with an A.
Brandon with an A, not Brandon Villegas.
How's Brandon?
Brandon. Yes. How is Brandon doing? Okay.
Why are you talking in your Paul voice when you say that? Sabrina and Paul are different people.
You can too. All the impressions just jumble into one, and that's just kind of how it works for me.
It's all Paul.
All Paul, baby. It's all Paul. I just can't get Paul out of my head. He's just so amazing. Okay, guys, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We'll see you on Wednesday. For Allison White and Taryn Armstrong, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag AIM. Hashtag Evil Dick was not on season 8. And hashtag Brandon. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Reality TV, we're happy hour.